Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's check in now with AccuWeather Chief Meteorologist Jonathan Porter joining us this morning. We've had more deaths from the catastrophic flooding that now surpass 100. Much of the discussion has turned to warnings and whether there was any way to have alerted people in the path of raging floodwaters. Joining me to talk about the power of this kind of flash flooding is AccuWeather Chief Meteorologist Jonathan Porter. Jonathan, thanks for joining me this morning.
Good to be with you to talk about this horrible tragedy.
A lot of people are asking right now, Jonathan, if there was any way to predict what happened.
Yes, there were ample warnings that were provided by AccuWeather and the government's National Weather Service, first highlighting the threat for flash floods the day before with a flash flood watch that was issued by the government's National Weather Service. And then as the rainfall intensified, flash flood warnings issued by AccuWeather at 12:44 Central Time, and then the National Weather Service issued a flash flood warning for the public at 1:14 a.m. Central Time. That would have activated alerts in the AccuWeather app, activated wireless emergency alerts, and many other ways that those NWS warnings are provided. So there was ample time from those warnings that were issued because the peak of the flooding reached Hunt, Texas, and some of the other camps in that area around 4:30 in the morning. So there were several hours of advance notice. It's clear that those warnings saved a lot of lives. But the key question is, what did local decision makers in terms of local officials and the people responsible for safety at the camps and RV parks, what actions did they take based upon those timely warnings?
Whose responsibility is it? Because we have people right now speculating that, for example, this was due to federal cuts, or this was because of those local officials not having things in place like sirens along, you know, these flood-prone areas. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's very clear that the timely warnings were issued, as mentioned by the National Weather Service and AccuWeather as well. So those timely warnings were there. They were issued as they should have been. And the key question is, what actions were taken on the ground? Because ultimately, warnings are only as good as the actions that people take based upon the warnings. And at a location like a camp or an RV park, there has to be somebody whose job it is 24/7 to be monitoring for weather warnings and to be able to take the appropriate action. Facilities like that have a duty of care. They need to protect people from weather risks just the same as they would from a physical security risk. So in many cases, here at AccuWeather, we work with half the Fortune 500s and thousands of other businesses. Oftentimes, that is the 24/7 job of security and safety personnel to be monitoring for weather warnings so that they can take the appropriate actions. Now the investigation is going to need to focus on what actions were taken on the ground based upon those timely warnings.
How much of what happened there in this area is quantity of rainfall, and how much is the terrain and geography that created this fast-moving rush of water due to heavy rainfall?
Well, that's a great question. And the Texas Hill Country is known, I call it the flash flood capital of the United States, because it has a tragic history of devastating flash floods just like this one. You go back to in Wimberley, Texas in 2015, Memorial Day, there was a flash flood there where water rose 30 feet in an hour, a very similar situation to this. And some of the same communities that were struck by this flash flood back in July 1987 along the Guadalupe River had a similar flash flood then too. So it's part of the history there because of the hilly terrain, the arid soil, which tends to promote lots of runoff, and that water pours off of the hills into the valleys, into the creeks, streams, and rivers, and you have persistent thunderstorms producing copious rain over the same areas. It was raining 2 to 4 inches per hour for several hours on end. That's going to funnel all that water into the Guadalupe River and lead to that wave of flooding that went down the river and caused so much destruction and the horrible loss of life. So it's part of life in the Texas Hill Country because of the climatology of that area. So they've got to be prepared for dealing with that. So it's even more reason that those facilities needed to have somebody monitoring for weather warnings all of the time. And it's also a lesson for everybody to just take action as soon as weather warnings are issued. Even if you don't see a lot of rain occurring in your area, there could be rain that's occurring near in waterways near you that can move down those creeks and streams and rivers and become a major safety problem. So have the AccuWeather app, turn on those free push notifications, and that's a great resource to help keep safer.
AccuWeather Chief Meteorologist Jonathan Porter, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Good to be with you. Thank you.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.